Chapter 10, Good Reasons. The entire mouse community, as instructed by the most very honored head mouse, had gathered behind the wall of the castle ballroom. The members of the mouse council sat atop three bricks piled high, and spread out before them was every mouse, old and young, foolish and wise, who lived in the castle. They were all waiting for Despero. "Make way," said Furlough. "Here he is. I've got him. Make way." Furlough pushed through the crowd of mice. Despero clung to his brother's tail. "There he is," the mice whispered. "There he is. He's so small. They say he was born with his eyes open." Some of the mice pulled away from Despero in disgust, and others, thrill seekers, reached out to touch him with a whisker or a paw. The princess put a finger on him. "They say he sat at the foot of the king. It is simply not done," came the distinctive voice of Despero's Aunt Florence. Make way," shouted Furlough. "I have him right here. I have Despero Tiling, who has been called to sit with the mouse council." He led Despero to the front of the room. "Honored members of the Mouse Council," shouted Furlough, "I have brought you Despero Tiling, as you requested, to sit with you." He looked over his shoulder at Despero. "Let go of me," Furlough said. Despero dropped Furlough's tail. He looked up at the members of the Mouse Council. His father met his gaze and then shook his head and looked away. Despero turned and faced the sea of mice. "To the dungeon," a voice cried out. "Straight to the dungeon with him." Despero's head, which had been full of such delightful phrases as "happily ever after" and "lovely ears" and "I honor you," suddenly cleared. "Straight to the dungeon," another voice shouted. "Enough," said the most very honored head mouse. "This trial will be conducted in an orderly fashion. We will act civilized." He cleared his throat. He said to Despero, "Son, turn and look at me." Despero turned. He looked up and into the head mouse's eyes. They were dark eyes, deep and sad and frightened. And looking into them, Despero's heart thudded once, twice. "Despero Tiling," said the head mouse. "Yes, sir," said Despero. "We, the 14 members of the Mouse Council, have discussed your behavior. First, we will give you a chance to defend yourself against these rumors of your egregious acts. Did you or did you not sit at the foot of the human king?"
"I did," said Despero. "But I was listening to the music, sir. I was there to hear the song that the king was singing."
"To hear the what?"
"The song, sir. He was singing a song about the deep purple falling over sleepy garden walls."
The head mouse shook his head. "Whatever you are talking about is beside the point. The question is this, and only this. Did you sit at the foot of the human king?"
"I did, sir."
The community of mice shifted their tails and paws and whiskers. They waited. "And did you allow the girl human, the princess, to touch you?"
"Her name is Pete."
"Never mind her name. Did you allow her to touch you?"
"Yes, sir," said Despero. "I let her touch me. It felt good."
A gasp arose from the assembled mice. Despero heard his mother's voice. "Mon Dieu, it's not the end of the world. It was a touch. What of it?"
"It is simply not done," came Aunt Florence's voice from the crowd.
"To the dungeon," said a mouse in the front row.
"Silence,"
roared the most very honored head mouse. "Silence." He looked down at Despero. "Do you, Despero Tiling, understand the sacred, never-to-be-broken rules of conduct for being a mouse?"
"Yes, sir," said Despero. "I guess so, but
did you break them?"
"Yes, sir," said Despero.
He raised his voice. "But I broke the rules for good reasons, because of music and because of love."
"Love?" said the head mouse.
"Oh, crepes," said Furlough. "Here we go."
"I love her, sir," said Despero.
"We are not here to talk about love. This trial is not about love. This trial is about you being a mouse," shouted the most very honored head mouse from high atop the bricks, "and not acting like one."
"Yes, sir," said Despero. "I know."
"No, I don't think that you do know. And because you do not deny the charges, you must be punished. You are to be sent, as ancient castle mouse law decrees, to the dungeon. You are being sent to the rats."
"That's right," shouted a mouse in the crowd. "That's the ticket."
"The dungeon, the rats." Despero's small heart sank all the way to the tip of his tail. There would be no light in the dungeon, no stained glass windows, no library, and no books. There would be no Princess P. "But first," said the most very honored head mouse, "we will give you the chance to renounce your actions. We will allow you to go to the dungeon with a pure heart."
"Renounce?
Repent. Say that you are sorry you sat at the foot of the human king. Say that you are sorry you allowed the human princess to touch you. Say that you regret these actions." Despero felt hot and then cold and then hot again.
"Renounce her? Renounce the princess?"
"Mon Dieu," shouted his mother. "Son, do not act the fool. Renounce. Repent." "What say you, Despero Tiling?"
I say,
"No," whispered Despero.
"What?" said the head mouse.
"No," said Despero, and this time he did not whisper the word. "I am not sorry. I will not renounce my actions.
I love her. I love the princess. There was a bellow of collective outrage. The whole of the mouse community surged toward Despero. The mice seemed to become one angry body with hundreds of tails and thousands of whiskers and one huge hungry mouth opening and closing and opening and closing, saying over and over and over again, "To the dungeon, to the dungeon, to the dungeon." The words pounded through Despero's body with each beat of his heart. "Very well," said the most very honored head mouse. "You will die then, with a black heart." "Threadmaster," he called, "bring out the thread." Despero marveled at his own bravery. He admired his own defiance. And then, reader, he fainted. Chapter 11, The Threadmaster Cometh. When Despero came to, he heard the drum. His father was beating a rhythm that had much more boom and much less tact. Together, Lester and the drum produced an ominous sound that went something like this. Boom, 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 tap, boom, 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 tap. "Make way for the thread," cried a mouse who was pushing a wooden spool of red thread through the crowd. "Make way for the thread." Boom, 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 tap, went the drum. "To the dungeon," shouted the mice. Despero lay on his back, blinking his eyes. How, he wondered, had things gone so terribly wrong? Wasn't it a good thing to love? In the story in the book, love was a very good thing. Because the knight loved the fair maiden, he was able to rescue her. They lived happily ever after. It said so in the book. They were the last words on the page, "happily ever after." Despero was certain that he had read exactly those words time and time again. Lying on the floor with the drum beating and the mice shouting and the threadmaster calling out, "Make way, make way," Despero had a sudden, chilling thought. Had some other mouse eaten the words that spoke the truth? Did the knight and the fair maiden really not live happily ever after? Reader, do you believe that there is such thing as happily ever after? Or, like Despero, have you too begun to question the possibility of happy endings? "Happily ever after," whispered Despero. "Happily ever after," he said again, as the spool of thread came to a stop beside him. "The thread, the thread, the thread," murmured the mice. "I'm sorry," said the mouse behind the spool, "but I have to ask you to stand up. I have to do my job." Despero got slowly to his feet. "On your hind legs, please," said the threadmaster. "It's the rules." Despero stood on his hind legs. "Thank you," said the mouse. "I appreciate it." While Despero watched, the threadmaster unwound a length of red thread from the spool and tied a loop. "Just enough for the neck," muttered the mouse. "No more, no less. That's what the last threadmaster taught me. Enough thread for the neck." He looked up at Despero and then back down at the loop of the thread. "And you, my friend, have a small neck." The threadmaster raised his arms and put them around Despero's neck. He leaned in close, and Despero smelled celery. He could feel the threadmaster's breath in his ear as he worked at tightening the thread. "Is she beautiful?" the threadmaster whispered. "What?" said Despero. "Shh, is the princess beautiful? The Princess P?" "Yes, she is lovely beyond all imagining," said Despero. "Just right," the threadmaster said. He drew back. He nodded his head. "A lovely princess, just so, like a fairy tale. And you love her, as a knight loves a maiden. You love her with a courtly love, a love that is based on bravery and courtesy and honor and devotion. Just so." "How do you know that?" Despero said. "How do you know about fairy tales?" "Shh." The mouse leaned in close, and Despero smelled celery again, green and alive. "Be brave, friend," whispered the threadmaster. "Be brave for the princess." And then he stepped back and turned and shouted, "Fellow mice, the thread has been tied. The thread has been knotted." A roar of approval went up from the crowd. Despero squared his shoulders. He had made a decision. He would do as the threadmaster had suggested. He would be brave for the princess. Even if, reader, could it be true? There was no such thing as happily ever after.